Title of my message tonight is The Bridal Chamber. The Bridal Chamber. Now, in God's Word, He relates to us a lot in the natural first and then the spiritual. And it's good to know that because we can learn a lot if we look at the natural things first before we get a spiritual lesson. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 46, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 46, Paul tells us, "Howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual." And this is how Jesus taught. He taught, and he showed us a natural thing first, and they related to a spiritual lesson he was trying to get across. And he spoke to us about the sower, you know, and you can picture I can picture myself sowing seed, you know, and it relates to the word of God falling on the ground. Some of it takes root, some of it doesn't, and I can picture myself as a sower. Jesus talked about the fishermen, you know, casting your net into the sea and getting all kinds of different fish for the kingdom of heaven. And I can picture myself as a fisherman because I like to fish. In fact, Aaron Day one time showed me how to cast a net the right way when you cast a net and it just spreads out over the water. And I could see myself doing that as a fisherman. And Paul talked about a soldier, you know, becoming a soldier and fighting for the ways of God and fighting the enemy with your spiritual armor on. I can see myself being a soldier in that position. But there's one role that the Word of God talks about that sometimes I have a hard time picturing myself, and that's being a bride. I have a hard time putting that white dress on and picture me walking down the aisle to meet my husband. I struggle with that sometimes. I saw something recently on the news. It was these colleges today, many of them want to go gender-free. And I saw this girl discussing with this other guy about it. And she says, you know, that it's not right to put you into a man or a woman category. They're going against that now. They want to be gender-free. It would be wrong to say that woman over there is pregnant. She says it should be that person is pregnant. And they're against things like the Boy Scouts, and the Girl Scouts, because they don't think you should say Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts. It should be, you know, we all should be one. We shouldn't be put into a box as a man or a woman. That's pretty strange. We're living in a strange world. When I was younger, you know, we had all boys club, you know, no girls were allowed in our forts and stuff. But God created us male and female. You know, He created us either a male or a female. We have to be comfortable with that. We can't think ourselves the opposite sex, which is the world seems to think you can do now, since some of them want to think themselves to be the opposite sex. But at the same time, in a way, we men have to see ourselves and understand ourselves as a bride to get our full purpose here on earth. We have to come to see ourselves as a bride to receive our full purpose on earth, to see our full purpose here on earth. Actually, we all were created, men and women, to become, have the opportunity anyway, to become the bride of Christ, become a member of that bride. And I think there's a desire, a deep desire in each one of us. I think Pastor Tucker mentioned there's a vacuum put inside of us that needs to be fulfilled. We need to have a completeness. We're striving for it. And I think that completeness will be seen, and we can work toward that when we realize that what we're created to be is the bride of Christ. We're created to become the member of that bride. You know, everybody has a need to belong to something. You know, the old saying goes, no man is an island. You know, we're not here to be by ourselves and survive by ourselves and do by ourselves. You know, we have this desire to connect to something, you know, to be married to something. And some people, they want to be married to success. You know, maybe success can fill that role. Maybe it's another person. Maybe they can be joined to another person to fill that vacuum. Some people, it's money. Maybe money will give me that completeness. You know, maybe it's a job. Maybe a job can fulfill me. A goal, a movement. It goes on and on. People want to be connected to something. They want to join yourself to something. They want to be married to something in life in order to feel complete. And if, like we said, if we got that nature in us to become that bride of Christ, if that's in us, then the bride can't be happy until she's married. That's what she's created for. So there's that desire in each one of us when it wakes up to be married, to be joined to something. That's our purpose. And the problem is that each of these things that we mentioned, you know, other people, jobs, money, they don't complete us because they're not the bridegroom that we're created to be with. They're not the right one. We're only created for God. We're created to be His heavenly bride. That's what's going to fulfill us. See, the goal in this life is not only to find God, which many say, you know, I've found God. That's not the only goal, is to find God, but the goal is to continue on with God till you're married. That's the goal we have in life. That should be our goal. See, this Christian life isn't only a relationship. It's not just a decision for a relationship. It's also a decision of submission. If we're going to continue on with God, we don't only have to accept Him, we have to submit to Him. It's a relationship of submission. You know, this is completeness. This is where we find this completeness in God, when we submit to Him. You know, when you see this truth and give our whole heart to Him, He's the only one that can satisfy all our desires. And when we give our whole heart to Him, we seek Him as a bridegroom, all these other things in life that we go through will fall in place. Putting the Lord first doesn't put a burden on our lives, but it enhances it, enhances our lives. Jesus said in John 10:10, it says, I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. And that's what I found out. Before I was a Christian, you know, I loved my wife. I knew I loved her. And I knew I loved things in life, like different hobbies I did. But when I came to Christ and I began to put Christ first in my life, He showed me how to love these things even more. He put them in the right position. I thought I loved my wife, but after I came to Christ and put Him first, He showed me how to love her even more. He put these things in order in my life. He came first, and these things underneath it just seemed to fall in place. And Deuteronomy 6, verse 5 says, And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And I think this is the marriage relationship that's talked about here. I think Paul mentions this mystery in Ephesians 5:32. He says, This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. I think it's the one body, the marriage, the joining of Christ and the church. Now I want to get back to the title of this message, The Bridal Chamber. The Bridal Chamber. We've been hearing a lot in our teachings and our prophecies and our speaking out about being prepared, about preparation. And I've always wondered what goes on in them rooms where the bride gets ready for that wedding. You know, she's with all her friends. It seems kind of secretive to me. It's like highly restricted, off limits. Sometimes it even seems like they have armed guards posted at them doors. You really can't get near them. Every time I walk by, I feel a little sense of danger. That's just always how I perceived it. There's always something important going on back behind them doors. But I think the bride must be going through some real serious thoughts at this time. And it's different with the guys. I was at Jake's wedding, and I walked in where the guys were getting prepared for the wedding. And as soon as I walked in, you thought it was a locker room party, a big brawl. Guys were joking around, throwing things at each other, wrestling. You know, they're just a bunch of goof-offs. But I think with the girl, it's a little different. I can just think it's more serene. She's more serious. She's preparing for the one that she's going to be close to, the one she's going to spend her life with. She needs to start to focus less on her home and what she's leaving, and more on where she's headed and where she's going to, who she's going to be with. She knows that her time with her past home life has come to an end, and she needs to let go and focus more on the future. Things are going to be different for her now. She must prepare for what lies ahead for her, and I think this is a serious time for a bride. She's really thinking about what she's getting into. And she's on a mission. You know, the bride's on a mission at this time, behind these doors. She's on a mission to make herself as beautiful as she can for her bridegroom. That's what she's trying to do back there. She's trying to make herself as beautiful and attractive as she can for that man she's going to marry. And I think if we truly belong to God, I think this is a spiritual mindset that we need to have here in this life. You know, we need to live as though our time in this life is a spiritual bridal chamber. We're in our spiritual bridal chamber now. We're getting ready to meet our spouse. That's, I think, the way we should be living our lives here on earth. And we need to focus on the things that are going to prepare us for eternity. And that means letting go of the past. You know, we need to learn to let go of the past and prepare to meet Christ. We need to spend our time here becoming everything that Jesus wants us to be, everything he wants his bride to be. That's what we should be focusing on. In Revelation 21, verse 2, Revelation 21, verse 2 says, "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." And we can't only focus on what makes us comfortable in our lives down here on earth. The more we focus on what makes our lives comfortable here, the less time we focus on the heavenly things that we need to be focusing on. You know, in each experience we face in our life, you know, we go through life, we have jobs, we have spouses, we have ministries. But each one of these things that we go through in life should be opportunities to make us that much more attractive to Christ. All these things we do, you know, our jobs, every day at work, you know, our spouses-to-be, you know, our grandchildren, all the time we spend here should be opportunities to take, to be that bride that Christ wants to be, to handle these things the way God wants us to handle them. And that'll make him desirous more. If we handle these things the way God wants us to handle them, if we have him in mind, it'll make us more desirable to him. We need to reach the point of the Shunammite in Song of Solomon. The Shunammite, the bride here, her first response, she had three steps in becoming to this point. The first step was, we see in verse 2, verse 16, she says, "He is mine, and I am his." There's possession here. She's seen the Lord as hers. You know, he was hers. There's a sense of possession here. And then she moved on later in verse 6, verse 3. She says, "I am his, and he is mine." So it changes a little bit here. She sees herself as belonging to him, but yet he's still hers. There's still that little sense of possession. But in chapter 7, verse 10, Song of Solomon, she says, "I am my beloved, and his desire is toward me." Now she's after his desire. Now that her goal is to have him desire her. There's no possession here. She's all for him. She's surrendered to the Lord. And we're betrothed to the Lord. You know, we have to see ourselves as betrothed to the Lord here on earth. And this is how we need to be spending our time, making ourselves more and more attractive to the Lord. I was talking to somebody recently, not too long ago, about the value of our time here on earth, you know, our valuable time we have that God gives us. And it's so easy to take this time for granted. When we look at it in terms of minutes, you know, it numbers into hours and hours into days and days into months, then years, adding up into decades. And many people say life goes fast. Well, it does, but I still think that days go slow sometimes. You know, it seems like we have a lot of time here on earth. But really, I don't know how much time we do have. Can I hit the first slide here? If we say we live 100 years, and all of time is 1,000 years, what we see is that we have, our time isn't all the time anymore. Now we have a tenth of the time to be prepared, to get ourselves ready to meet Christ. Go to the next slide. Let's say, you know, there's 1,000,000 years in eternity. It's like 1,000,000 grains of sand. We'll say that's a pile of sand. Now our 100 years is just a pinch of that sand, just a pinch of that sand. So our time is even less. We have less time. But let's look at the reality of things. Next slide. Eternity is something that goes on and on and on. It just keeps expanding. And now the reality is our 100 years actually are still in this circle of time, and it's so small you can't even see it. So actually, our time here on earth is just a vapor. And our time here on earth is so important, what we do here in order to get ready for Christ, and it's just a vapor. It's just gone. We don't have any time to waste. We want to make sure that we're living for Christ, because this time that we spend here is going to make sure all our eternity, it's going to be what our eternity is, what we do here on earth. And this person I was talking to wasn't making the best of their time. They weren't living for Christ. You know, they weren't making righteous decisions. They were wasting precious time. But I was trying to tell them so much depends on this little speck of time that God gives us here on earth. It's so important. Psalm 90, 10 through 12 in the New Living Translation says, 70 years are given to us. Some even live to be 80. But even the best years are filled with pain and trouble. Soon they disappear and we fly away. Who can comprehend the power of your anger? Your wrath is as awesome as the fear you deserve. Teach us to realize the brevity of life so that we may grow in wisdom. You know, it says here, teach us to realize how brief life is, the brevity of life. And in Romans 13, 11 to 14, Paul tells us, this is all the more urgent for you to know how late it is. Time is running out. Wake up, for your salvation is nearer now than when you first believed. The night is almost gone. The day of salvation will soon be here. So remove your dark deeds like dirty clothes and put on the shining armor of right living. Because we belong to the day, we must live decent lives for all to see. Don't participate in the darkness of wild parties and drunkenness, or in sexual promiscuity and immoral living, or in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, clothe yourselves with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, and don't let yourself think about ways to indulge your evil desires. So Paul says, you know how late it is. Time is running out. The night is almost gone. The day of salvation will soon be here. So we see that our time here is short. You know, a blink of an eye, and time is going to be gone for us here on earth. And this time on earth is what makes all of eternity, makes us in all of eternity. You know, so we have to focus on becoming more and more like Christ every minute, trying to reach that position that he wants us to reach that mark. And sometimes the work of becoming more and more like Christ seems discouraging at times, because we look at ourselves, especially when we look, turn our eyes inwards and we see who we are. And we see all those small imperfections. You know, it looks like we're not gaining much ground. You know, we only have a little time and we're not becoming more and more like Christ like we want to. But I want to look at how Christ sees us. In Song of Solomon 6:10, the Lord describes his bride here. He says, who is she that looketh forth as the morning, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, and terrible as an army with banners? So one way he describes the bride here is fair as the moon. And fair here is beautiful, attractive. And I want to show you a picture of the moon here. Now, to me, that's not very attractive. It looks like a big old dust ball in space. The next one, it just looks like a big glob. That's the moon. But Christ says his bride is fair, is attractive, is beautiful as the moon. You know, there's dark craters there. It's been bombarded with meteorites. There's dark areas. And it's just dark and ugly. But, you know, we can look at ourselves like this. You know, we can be like this moon. You know, past failures, you know, dark areas of sin. You know, getting bombarded with troubles and trials. And we can look kind of like this moon and we say, how's this beautiful? But the thing is that the moon's beauty is not in itself. So the next slide. Because the moon actually is beautiful. You know, we look at it at night and we see the skies. There's a golden moon. And next slide. There's a blue moon over a lake. You know, so the moon is beautiful. But it's only beautiful when it's reflecting the light of the sun. See, the moon's beauty is not in itself. It's in when it's reflecting the light of the sun. And we're like that moon. We have a lot of dark spots. We have a lot of trials. We have a lot of failures in life. We have a lot of craters. But our beauty comes when we keep our eyes on the sun, when we reflect the light of Christ. If we keep our eyes on him, who is the light, we're going to shine with his glory. We will be changed. In 1 Corinthians 15:49, it says, "As we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly." And how does this take place? How do we go from earthly to heavenly? In 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed in the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." It's Christ through His Spirit that changes us. It's not our efforts. It's Christ keeping our eyes focused on Christ, and He does the changing. Paul said in Ephesians, talked about this work of Christ in Ephesians 5:26-27. He says, "That He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that should be holy and without blemish." So this is the work of Christ. It's Christ's job to change us. And if we keep our eyes on Him, He does the work. We have to let Him, allow Him to change our hearts by keeping looking at Him. And we could be like that ugly moon, but as soon as we focus on the glory of Christ, we're going to light up. We're going to be that beautiful bride. And this should be our goal. You know, as we live in this betrothal stages, we're now on this earth. We need to get in tune with the Holy Spirit and learn to travel with Him throughout our life. And this is what we see in Genesis chapter 24 with Rebekah and Eliezer. Eliezer, who's a representative of the Holy Spirit, he came and sought out a bride for Isaac. And he found Rebekah, and she traveled with him across the wilderness back to see Isaac. And at the end of that journey, we read in Genesis chapter 24:66-67, it says, "And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her unto his mother Sarah's tent, and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her." Now this, Isaac is representative of Christ, you know, and Rebekah is the church. It's a heavenly bridegroom. And Christ, it says here that Isaac took Rebekah into his mother's tent, into Sarah's tent. And I see in Psalm 19, that we have a heavenly tent that I think that is Christ's tent here. In Psalm 19:4-5, it says, "In them, which is in the heavens, God has set a tabernacle or tent for the sun, and that which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoices as a strong man to run a race." So there is a tent in the heavenlies, and Christ is up there waiting for his church. It says he rejoices as a strong man to run a race. He's ready to meet his church. And we want to meet the Lord the same way he's ready for us. We want to meet him ready. We want to enter eternity with Christ the way he wants us to be, just as his bride. And one final note here. You know, we say that, you know, we struggle and we try to be more and more like Christ, and it just seems like a lot of times we fail. You know, are we ever going to get there? But the thing is, if I had a beautiful picture here on an easel, a beautiful painting, and I asked you to come up and I had another easel next to it, and I give you an hour, and I give you the paints and the brushes, and I said, "Okay, I want you to copy this painting, and when I, you know, I'll give you an hour," and you tried to copy that painting, you tried to be that artist, I'm sure what would that look like after an hour, you think? You think it would look very good? I know mine wouldn't. Because the thing is, because that painting was done by a master. You know, if you had the master's touch, if he has the master's mind, if you have the master's hand, then you could produce that painting. Otherwise, you're not going to produce that painting at all. And that's what we have to realize. We have to give everything over to Christ. We have to see things His way. We have to let Him take over our minds, our bodies, and we have to walk in the Spirit in order to become that bride that Christ wants us to be. Like we said, this time on earth, it's our bridal chamber. It's we're back here, we're getting ready, we're getting attractive, we're getting ready to meet Christ in the air. So we have to be that ready bride. Amen.